Whack Vegas, baby! Hello, hello, hello. I had to get my headset off and in and ready to go. Hello and welcome to Pardon Me, Alex. Let's go. Let's talk about it. Man, two games left in the sawmill and we whooped them both.
Two wins, two dubs.
My God. Like the last two games of the season in the sawmill, this team looked like a completely different team from like the previous 10 games.
Agree.
And I mean, there's one major reason why that is the way that is. And we could talk about that in a little bit, but if you know, you know. Yeah, just absolutely ecstatic to end the season on two really great wins and two high notes. We're going to go ahead and talk about both the Southern Utah and Utah Tech game, doing a combo episode complete with a little Whack Vegas preview. Jacqueline and I will talk a little bit about our trip that's coming up on Wednesday, obviously, and then talk about the games that will be ensuing on Wednesday and Thursday as well. But yeah, Jacqueline, how are we feeling?
Pretty good. I mean, we went into that knowing we must win one. And we thought that we had a pretty good shot at winning both of them, but
right.
You know, we were just setting what expectations for what we must have. And we were very happy to get them both. And we got quite a few other good points to cover.
Absolutely.
I think on things that we just did a lot better on than we have lately. So good all the way around.
No, absolutely. I am so proud of the team for being resilient and finishing strong. The boys have been through a lot this season. I mean, we thought last season was rough. I feel like this season was rough, but in a different way.
Yeah.
And so there was just a lot of growing pains this season, a lot of adversity. And so I'm just really, really ecstatic that we get to continue our season into the postseason and into Whack Vegas. And We're going in on a high note. We're going in on a little bit of a run, of a surge. We have AJ back, and I feel like that is – it's all looking positive right now for the Lumberjacks. And so ready to get to Vegas and ready to see what this team can do on Wednesday night versus ACU, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, I'm equally glad to be going in on a high – on a high note, because it really does make a big impact, I think, for them to go in on a incline. So I feel like they're going to go in as confident as they possibly can. So,
yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think everybody's in high spirits. Everybody's happy. Everybody is as healthy as we can be going into Whack Vegas round one. So, but let's just hop right into the games, because we're going to talk about the last two games in the sawmill first. And then we'll talk about Whack Vegas. So first game, obviously, was Thursday night. That was the second to last home game in the sawmill. We played Southern Utah. And Jacqueline, of course, is going to tell us all about it.
Yes. So matchup history with Southern Utah. We had only one win and three losses going into this game. Our last matchup was in January. That was the one time we had beat them. So we beat them on the road 84-82, so only by 2 points, but that was a road game. So this was the one that we really went into more confident that we could easily secure. Thankfully, we did. Our starters for this game were Matt, Trill, Jalil, Nana, and CeCe. We did win 87-60, and the attendance was 1,507. So Sean Kennedy's stat section, we had field goal percentage 54.8. Nice. 3-point percentage 45. Very nice.
Yep.
Free throw percentage not so nice at 55.6.
Right.
Points in the paint, we have 44, which is a nice large number we like to see there. Points on turnovers, we had 20 second chance points. We only had 6. Fast break points, we had 19. Bench points were pretty good also, 26. Our total rebounds, we had 42, so we did out-rebound them by 7. We had 9 offensive boards and 33 defensive boards. We had 20 fouls. We had 13 turnovers, which is pretty good. Not our lowest, but barely double digits, so we'll take that. They had 2 more than us. They had 15. We had 9 steals and 3 blocks. Our game leader, so I listed quite a few because we had 3 players in double digits, and then we had 3 like right within the same kind of area. So Matt, we had leading the way, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. We had Trell with 14 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 steals. Mm. We had Jalil with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. Nana with 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 assist. Jelani also with 9 points with 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. Clayton with 8 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. So for this one, my player of the game, I went with the Pilgrim's Pride player of the game, Matt, leading the way, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree with that. Matt had a fantastic game that night. I think it was the hair.
I think so too. And I told him I liked the hair and he did not like the hair. So
I know, which is so funny to me. Like he changes his hair, gets his braids out, and it's like fro-y and cool. And like it moves when he runs. I love it. And then as he comes over to give us a hug on yesterday, actually, we're like, oh, we love your hair. He's like, freaking hate it. I got to get it braided again. I was like, oh my God.
I will sympathize with him on that though, because I think he meant, because I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but like, I think he said something like, it's just getting on my nerves. I don't think it was so much like he doesn't like the way it looks. It's just like annoying him.
It's just a lot of hair. It's a lot of hair. And
as someone with a lot of natural hair, I totally get it. Cause like when you're doing stuff, like y'all, if you're watching, you thankfully can't really tell on the screen, but I was working out my yard for hours today, and I swear what were like fairly nice curls without a lot of frizz, it's just like a frizzy mess, because like when you're getting hot and doing stuff and your hair is natural, it just like magnifies in size. And then it's just like you can feel it touching you everywhere. It's in the way you're trying to do stuff, like
gross.
It can be annoying.
And yeah, I mean, and that's partly why anytime I get my hair done, I'm like, listen, I need it to be long enough to pull it back. I don't want it in my face. I don't want anything in my face when I'm doing stuff. So I totally understand that for sure. But yeah, I think maybe for WAC Vegas, we'll probably see different hair from Matt, which I mean, I'm sad to say, but I mean, whatever makes him happy and comfortable playing, whatever he wants.
Totally.
Yeah, but what a game Matt had. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad you went over more than just Matt and Trell. Everybody that you listed had fantastic games. I mean, Jalil, 13 points, Trell with the 14, you know, loving those numbers from all the boys. I mean, Jelani, 6 rebounds. Love that. I mean, it was a really total game. I know, exactly. I was stat watching a little bit on Thursday and definitely on Saturday for obvious reasons, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I'm loving these stats. I mean, when you have that many players putting up points on the board, it's just fairly obvious that it's just a team, complete team win. It wasn't just one person putting up all the scores, all the stats. I mean, it was a very much shared effort, and I love to see that, honestly.
Totally. And I listed all of those out also because, honestly, that's going to be my biggest feat of strength of the game, because we've talked about this before. We've had some troubles throughout the season with just scoring.
Right.
To be quite frank. And
right.
So So this game, to have that many guys, and literally the only players who didn't score this game were Kemo and Davion, and they each played 3 minutes and 1 minute.
Let that slide then.
Yeah, and to have that many players, like, really close to double digits, love to see it. This is what we need. Like, this is one of the key ingredients to
right.
being able to consistently win games, because if we only have one person who consistently scores, then that makes it easy for scouting for the other team. Or if we have multiple different people who might have a really hot night and score a lot or might not score at all.
Right.
Doesn't help put points on the board. So to have a night where this many people were, you know, putting substantial points up, and a lot of them were getting a lot of assists. So they're working to get the ball to other people to score.
Yeah, they're sharing the ball. They're working together. It, you know, definite, absolute team effort. Love to see it.
Couldn't ask for better on that. Love that.
Agreed. I mean, that just rolls right into the feats of strength. I mean, which you already mentioned, the fact that, you know, so many people scored, so many people had their hands on the ball and were getting good looks, and it was just a great night. Honestly, the team really needed that. We were really hoping that Thursday night game would be the game that we win. That way we had WAC Vegas secured, no matter what seed we were in. That was the game we wanted to win to make sure that we had that. And then going into Saturday's game, not necessarily that Saturday game didn't matter. It was more so that we already had the win.
Wasn't pressure.
Right. And I feel like that really attributed to how we performed on Saturday too, because there was less pressure. We had fun. It was a good time. And I think when it's, you know, when the vibes are like that, I feel like this team just, you know, they really do better. Not saying that when the pressure's on, they collapse, but I mean, it's stressful.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, like I said, that's my biggest feat of strength for this game.
Agreed.
We spread it around that much. Our field goal percentage and 3-point percentage were super great.
Way better than previous games.
Yeah, way happy with both of those.
So for me, I think my biggest feat of strength for this game too, also is related to scoring, was our points in the paint. We're back up to where they need to be in order for us to win the game. I mean, we've been saying this for years that, you know, when we have a strong presence in the post and in the paint, that we are going to be near unstoppable. And anytime our points in the paint are up in the upper 30s, 40s, I mean, if we don't win the game, then that other team must be just absolutely lights out somewhere else. Because, right. I mean, having that many points in the paint, you surely should be winning the game. Compared to their 30, I mean, we scored 14 more points in the paint than they did. I think another area we also thrived, which we had been struggling with a little bit lately, was our points off turnovers. Being at 20, they only had 5. So I feel like that also, along with bench points, I'm just kind of going through all the other random notes down there. Our bench points back up to kind of where they should be in the 20s at 26 compared to their 15. We had double as many plus fast break points as they did. They only had 8. We had 19. And we also had double the second chance points. We had 6. They had 3. So I feel as though we just took opportunities where they were. We took advantage of the opportunities that we had when they were presented to us. And I really think that's, you know, obviously a great mixture of getting us that W, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Tess wrote a novel. I'm in heaven. I got to do what I wanted this season. Hugs and pictures with the guys, especially Jelani, then Frank and AJ. What more could I ask for? I ventured down from way up top to the bottom where the action is. Awesome. I was emotionally exhausted. That game was awesome. Congrats. Yeah, she's talking about the second game. But, yes, she was a very happy camper.
She was. I'm glad she came down, too. I'm sure the guys were, too, you know? I mean, they like to.
They do. They do.
Any of the fans. Like, who wouldn't?
Absolutely. Agreed.
I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to highlight here. Well, we did have Jahlil and Nanau both put up one for one from the 3-point line. So 100% love to see it. We always love when those two guys, our big guys, make a three. Frank also made one for one.
I was gonna say Frank did it as well. Yep. 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 Matt 3 for 5. Love to see that. Let's see here. The only person that was 100% with their free throws was Jahlil, but we also didn't have a ton of free. I mean, we only had 18 free throws. We only missed 8, which is, so in reality, I feel like that sounds like a lot, but honestly, I feel like that free throw percentage, even though it's pretty low, is probably better than what it has been lately. So that there wasn't a lot of free throws to take. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Compared to the other team, Southern Utah was 60% on their free throws. They missed 10. They took 25 free throws. Their field goal and 3-point percentage were definitely way under ours as well. And I'm trying to think of anything else that was I was trying to remember who, when we played them last, really was a thorn in our side. I feel like Dominic Ford sounds familiar from the last game we played, like that he just went off, but maybe it was somebody else. They had 3 guys in double digits as well, but nowhere near, obviously, where we were.
And another big feat of strength we had AJ back this game.
Wow. Good point.
Yeah, so we didn't start this game. Obviously, we're trying to, you know, softly get him back in there. This was the first game that we've had AJ back since.
That was such a spark. It's not even funny. Like, okay. Jackson was also back, so that was also a good luck thing. I think the guys also were just so happy to be back in the sawmill from being away for 4 games, almost 2 weeks. I think that's just a major spark. I mean, big crowds or not, it's just nice to be home. You know, it's just nice to be at home on your home court with your friends and family and your fans that support you there. So I think that's also a big thing. But yeah, we kind of buried the lead there. AJ being back is like honestly one of the main reasons why. Not saying it's the only reason, but having AJ back, like you can just tell the difference between no AJ and AJ.
Oh yeah, for sure. And
you know what I mean? Like no slight to Chemo or, you know, Trell for that matter for taking over, but like things just run so much more smoothly and AJ just brings like a different pace to the game that isn't necessarily there when someone else is running the point.
Yeah. It's a missing part of the team, you know?
Yeah.
We're a team and that he's one of our key puzzle pieces and the guys are used to him.
Right.
It was so nice to have him back. And like Alex said, I think the guys were really excited to be back in the sawmill and boy, we were excited too. I mean, like it felt like basketball season was over or we hadn't seen the guys in a month. Like,
I know. Cause for the past couple seasons, I feel like the last game of the season wasn't at home. So it was so nice to have back-to-back games in the sawmill at the end of the season, because like I said, I feel like at the end of the season, the past couple years, it's always been away and it's been kind of depressing.
Yeah. I mean, I would trade the last game not being at home to not have 4 in a row on the road, but it was really nice to have the last
good point
back at home because I mean, 4 on the road, that was tough. And
that was rough. And then having all those 4 without AJ as well. God, dog. Woo. That was just rough.
Having him back. And we also had a few player parents in attendance Thursday night as well as Saturday. So that was nice. Thursday night, we had Miles' parents there and we had Jahlil's mom was there. So I was really happy that they got to come and be there for the last few home games.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's always nice to have player parents in the crowd because I mean, it's just a nice feeling to see them being able to come down and support their kid. And I mean, obviously I know a lot of them don't live in state at all. So them even getting down is just a really nice treat. So I'm very happy for them. Very excited that they got to come down and watch their kids play. It's just nice to see. It's just nice to see for sure. Okay. That was really all I mean, again, I didn't rewatch the game. I don't feel like I didn't need to, man. I'm happy enough that we won the games. I'm good. I'm solid. There were so many nice highlight moments from the game, but if you want to watch them, they're on ESPN Plus.
Rewatch the game. All right. Y'all know what the next section is, and we don't have too many, but you know, always at least something.
Some things to work on.
With the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
And now you're going to hear about it.
So I only have a couple, I guess. Main one for me, I think, was just the three-point shooting. Not to say that I'm angry about it. It's just rough when, I mean, you attempt 20, only make 9.
Yeah,
I don't know.
3% is pretty high for a 3-point percentage.
Yeah, like, no, I'm like, again, I'm not mad at all. I'm very pleased with the 3-point. The shots we made is just, again, like, AJ 0-for-3. I know it's his first game back. I'm just trying to find things to nitpick. There isn't much. Like,
the free throw percentage is garbage.
That's for sure.
Is not good. I was not happy with that. But, you know, and like we always say, thankfully in this game that didn't decide the game. But what if it would have been close and we left 8 points on the table? Like, 8 points could make a big swing in a close game.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Let's see.
The Ricker says they're free, baby.
They're free. You're right. Let's see. Like I said, I'm just trying to find things to nitpick because there wasn't a lot.
Now, I was not super pleased with a couple of the refs on Thursday night. It just wasn't the greatest. And even my dad said that one of the refs was awful, so that's really saying something.
True. Richard Parton doesn't normally say that.
Yeah. I didn't notate any of my specific gripes, so I can't remember exactly what they were, but
we're getting a lot of I'm trying to think. So Dennis, are you talking about over officiating at this game?
I think that's going to be on Saturday's game. We'll get
I'm trying to think. We're talking about two games so we're talking about Southern Utah first and then Utah Tech in a minute. So let's see here. Yes, Heather, I definitely have a grievance with the refs. I think a lot of people have grievances with the refs on the Utah Tech game.
Yeah, I got to remember the ones from Saturday's game. And when we get there, I'll explain to you the main reason why I remember them. But also, it's been less nights that I've slept since that game. So I remember them more clearly than Thursday.
Facts. Yeah, exactly. Thursday's game is very fuzzy in terms of play calling. I would have to rewatch it in order to tell you. Or foul calling, not play calling.
And for that one, like, we were both just so happy that we won.
Plus, I had way more beer than I normally have for those games. Like, I've reduced my beer intake at games because it's just too much. Like, I'm spending too much money on purple lights at the game because I just am. So I've like knocked it down. If I even have one, I have one. I just split it off into both. I just don't drink it as much. I'm trying not to, man, because it's just too much. I don't want it to be a crutch during the games where I'm like, I can't enjoy this unless I have a beer in my hand. I'm trying to be an adult here.
We were so happy to be back that you deserve to have two.
Yeah, I think I almost had three. Did I have
three?
Wow. It doesn't matter. It does. And plus, I'm on spring break. I don't really care. But anyway, that'll be me all next week. Just FYI. I'm on spring break. Who gives a shit? That'll be me. That'll be me in Vegas.
In Vegas. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Spring break. I'm in Vegas. I'm going to have a beverage or two or three or four.
Or four. Or more. Yeah. No, I do know I yelled quite a bit at the refs Thursday night because whenever I left the game, my dad texts me and says, call me when you get on the road. And at first I was like,
oh no.
Like, he saw me down there drinking beer at the game and yelling at the refs, and he's about to like, and I'm like, yeah, yes, everyone, I know my age. I'm not going to say it on here, but like, I'm too old to be anxious that my father's about to call me and get on to me for yelling at the refs, but that was my immediate thought. That was not the reason for the call, though, but I was very anxious.
Thank God.
Because I was like, oh no, he saw me drinking beer and yelling at the refs and I'm about to get scolded, but it was something else, so all good.
Well, here's the thing. No matter how old you get, you're still going to be nervous when your dad messages you or calls you and is like, hey,
call me when you leave.
Call me when you get a chance. Like, that's still gonna make you pucker your butt. You're like, what did I do? What did I do? No, exactly. Let's see, DDT. Maybe the lack of calling charges. That's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, that's a definite grievance.
Yeah.
I can't remember which game it was, but I think it was Thursday night. I think Matt took a charge that they called a block.
I think so too.
I know I texted my dad a few of my gripes, so let's check.
Check your receipts. Check your receipts.
Okay. Here's one. Okay. Now I remember. So
it's all coming.
First of all, I am pretty sure that game Matt took a really blatant charge and they called it a block. So I was pissed about that.
Yeah, there's one.
I know there were a couple of times. These are the main two I remember. There were multiple times that they would not call a cylinder foul as if they didn't know it existed.
That's coming back to me now as well. Yes. Okay.
Multiple times where I'm like, do you not know what this call is? Like, they're literally about to re-injure our little AJ.
I could count on maybe one hand how many cylinder fouls I've seen called this season. One hand. Yeah.
The other was, so this is the ref that Dad said was awful. I text Dad and I said, Keller is giving this ref you said is terrible the business, saying he got hit in the face. And the ref said, I didn't see that. And I'm like, you didn't see it because you weren't watching. Like, you are not watching this game. But yeah, that was like straight in front of us. Keller's like, he got hit in the face. And he's like, I didn't see that. And I'm like,
see, and this is why we sit behind the bench, people. Not only because obviously we want to be there and within yelling distance so that the boys can hear us and be like, yeah, our girls are behind us and they're cheering us on. Oh, no. It's so that we can hear every little nuanced detail that happens between Keller and the refs and Keller, the players individually on the court, off the court, on the bench, so that we can do this and report back to you.
Right. So yeah, that was pretty much all my grievances, but I forgot one. Feet of strength that we can add. Like we said, the guys, sorry.
She's dying. No.
I'm choking on oxygen. So like we said, we were so excited to be back in the sawmill. The guys were so excited to be back. And then it was pretty clear the whole game that we were gonna finish it and win unless, you know, we pulled our usual thing.
Don't even say it.
And towards the end of the game, I mean, the guys were getting so excited and hyped that they were about to seal this win. And one of our faves, they're all our faves, but one of our faves, Jelani, I mean, was so...
He was standing the whole game.
And so, like, excited to be cheering for everyone that he was just pacing up and down the bench, standing, cheering... All of it. And he was literally audibly saying, I'm just going to stand up the rest of the game. Like, I'm not even sitting down.
Yeah.
I think the ref finally told him to sit down, but.
That you're so right. I'm glad you mentioned that because that was the funniest part of the whole game was Jelani literally pacing, just pacing, like talking smack, doing this, messing with the team. Like, he wouldn't sit down.
And we were already laughing at him about that. And then he, like, verbatim said, I'm not sitting down the rest of the game.
I'm not sitting down. No one's going to make me sit down. I'm like, babe, you're if you get us a tech or a foul, like, I'm going to be pissed.
But it was, yeah, it was just one of those little heartwarming moments where he was just like so excited they were winning and happy for everybody. He's like, I'm not sitting down. Like, I'm going to stand up and cheer for everybody. And like,
yeah,
sitting down the bench and talk to all my friends and tell them what they did good. You know,
he was like an excited kid on Christmas or something. He's like, Hey guys. I would turn around to Savannah. I'm like, What is the deal with your boy? Like, he's acting a fool, but in the best way.
Yeah.
So funny.
It was just such good energy.
Yeah. Mom,
he's an amazing teammate.
He is an amazing teammate. I will agree with that as well. Okay, cool. So one word to describe this whole game. I'm just going to say relief. Relief that AJ was back playing, no matter if it was limited minutes or not, he was back playing. Relief that we won, that we got WAC Vegas secured up in this game, and just relief in general to be back in the sawmill, and just it was like a breath of fresh air.
I agree. And I can't even, I mean, I don't even know if I can put it into one word, but let's just say win. We got a win.
A big dub.
Faces. We got the win to get in. We were back in the sawmill. Almost everybody scoring, everyone contributing. AJ's back. All across the board, win.
Just, we are gathered here to celebrate the W. I love it. Okay, cool. So now let us move on to the last home game.
And senior day.
Yes.
Which I feel like I got a little confused because I did not think, I'm going to actually pull it up right now. I did not think that AJ was a senior.
So I know we had this discussion at the game and I didn't think he was either, but he has been here for 2 years and he was a transfer. So maybe he's a junior. Eligibility wise, but then a senior.
Where is he?
I don't know. It's very confusing.
Oh, okay. It says redshirt senior. So I suppose.
Oh, well then there you go. Okay.
I swear for some reason in my mind, I thought I had looked in it said junior and anyway. Okay. Well, that's sad. And maybe I just didn't want to consciously admit that, but anywho, the seniors we had for the day were AJ, Frank, which also makes me really sad because I'm just sad. We only got to have him for 1 year.
I'm so sad. I made a note of that. I was listening to the post game presser with Keller, Frank, AJ, and then Nana came later earlier today. And I like made a bunch of notes about what they were talking about. My first note was, damn, I wish we had them all 4 years.
I know.
Damn. Frank for one season is not enough, Frank.
Not enough.
Not enough, Frank. Not enough. I mean, even Keller said it during the post, during the presser. He said, listen, I wish we'd had both of these boys all 4 years. Like, it's just so – that's the only hard part about getting transfers is that
– I know. Like,
I love it, but damn, it's so short. Ugh! If we had them for all 4 years, like, you know, like a Nana situation where we had them all 4 years plus a grad year, you're like, ah, yes. Yes.
I could not agree more.
I know.
So those were our two players, and then we had Reese, our – you know, one of our favorite managers. Gosh, he makes us laugh all the time.
Yeah, he is the best drip on the team. Well, on the managers, at least, 100%.
So, yeah. So we had three of them for senior day. We had, like I said, Miles' parents and Jaleel's mom were there for Thursday night and for Saturday. And then Trell's parents also were at the game on Saturday.
Yeah, yes. Trell's dad rocking that old school classic Kansas Trell jersey.
That vintage Kansas. I want that jersey so bad. Like, I, for anyone who doesn't know, I've been, my like two college teams outside of SFA, obviously, that I watched growing up were Kansas and Duke. I have been a huge Kansas fan for a long time, and I was in love with that vintage.
Jacqueline was drooling. She was about ready to rip it off his back, honestly.
Like, I mean, you want to you want to trade? I'll bring you some other jersey. Oh, man, it was nice. It was cool. But anyways, we were so
glad. It was very cool.
So here's the matchup history for us in Utah Tech, which is who we played Saturday. Mm-hmm. We had a We had two wins, two losses with them going into that game.
Batting 500. There you go.
Yeah. So our last matchup, we did lose to them earlier this season, but it was on the road. It was only by 5 points. So like we said earlier in this episode, we thought we had a pretty decent chance at all the opportunity to win either one of these games this week. But we definitely thought, you know, obviously we had a little better advantage to win the other one, but we thought this one was totally winnable. So anyhow, out of our only have two wins with them, so the largest margin of victory was 81-52, which was in 2002. And then also the smallest was that same year, 85-72. But we did win this game, 84-71.
We did.
Attendance was 1,565. And our starting lineup for this game, drum roll please. AJ back in the starting lineup this game.
Let's go.
So we had AJ, Nana, Trell, Frank, and Jalil as our starting five.
Hunter's not pleased with the Rock Chalk talk.
Sorry, Hunter. I do like them. I don't know. I mean, I still wanted us to beat Kansas, but
true.
DDT says, feel like the core group is going to hang with us one more year.
God, I hope so.
Cross your fingers and the T's and P's.
Yeah.
I hope so.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but yeah.
Do you want to, after we do this game recap, talk about the standings for Vegas? Okay.
Yes.
So Sean Kennedy's stat section, we had field goal percentage of 43.8, 3-point percentage of 35%, free throw percentage about double from what it was Thursday night. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but 83.3% points in the paint. We had 28, which is like kind of on the low end for us, but
I know.
Don't worry, we have lots of 3-point shots. So we had 13 second chance points. We had 21 points off turnovers. Fast break points, we had 20. Pretty good. Bench points.
Pretty dang good.
Total rebounds, we had 34, which it was really evenly matched. They had 33, so we only had one more. We had 11 offensive and 23 defensive boards. We had 26 fouls. We had 17 turnovers, so a little higher than Thursday night. They had 19 turnovers. They had two more than us. We had 9 steals and 3 blocks. Our game leaders for this game, we had Nana with a career high of 30 points.
Nana putting up a 30-point game in the final home game. Like, okay, I just want to pause on this for just a moment because I want to put something in perspective just for everybody who's listening, because we have a huge crowd listening tonight. I just want to put everything in perspective. A year ago at senior night is when Nana had his devastating injury. A year ago, we thought this boy would never play basketball again.
Yeah, I mean, we were legitimately concerned. Like, either he may not ever be able to play again, or if he's able to, like, maybe he won't wanna, or his parents will be like, maybe you shouldn't.
It was just to me, it was just like such a, like a bittersweet moment for this, because again, like literally a year ago on senior night is when Nana had that such devastating injury that left him, which we all thought again, paralyzed or unable to play basketball ever again. I just think it's such like a crazy dichotomy, like fate moment that a year later on senior night, he puts up a career high 30 points. That's just, to me, that's just a crazy moment just to sit and think about. Because again, right after that injury, I mean, he had surgery. He was in a neck brace. I mean,
Like a halo neck brace.
Yeah, exactly. Like the doctors were so concerned that he may never, you know, play basketball again, or, you know, we didn't know what was happening with him. It was a scary moment. And the fact that a year later on senior night, he bursts out of nowhere with 30 points.
I'm so glad that you looked that up, because I didn't realize that it was senior night last year.
Yeah, it was senior night last year. And then because of that, obviously he couldn't play. I think there was one more game or so after that. And then it was WAC Vegas and he wasn't at any of that. Yeah.
And that makes sense, because the last game of the season wasn't the last home game last season. So
right. Correct. Yeah. There's a term, a kismet, like there's a term out there for this. Like it's just such a cool moment, honestly. And I'm just so beyond happy for him. And I mean, Melvin said it. He was in the zone. I can almost guarantee you, without having to look at any sort of the majority of those 28 points in the paint, I'm not going to say all of them, because I know obviously he shot four three-pointers, but a good chunk of them probably came from Nana.
Yeah. Y'all know I'm not good at math, so I'm not even trying to do that right now. But
right. Yeah, we missed him at Utah Valley. That's right. I was like, there was another game after that. That was the last home game, or the last game before WAC Vegas. That's right. Thank you, Hunter, for being the stat guy.
But yeah, so what a game. So obviously Nana was our lead scorer, and then not too far behind him, we had Trell with 20 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 rebound. Also, I want to point out, Nana had a stat in every category.
He did.
Points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steal.
He was on fire. Literally on fire. Ugh! Loved it. Loved every minute.
So, yeah, needless to say, I think that wraps up both of our player of the game for that game. Had to most definitely be Nana. I mean,
easily.
We, in addition to everything that Alex said, which is like the bigger win on multiple different levels besides just the basketball court for him being in this game, but for basketball related stuff, like we all know that Nana can hit the three and he's pretty darn accurate, because he really doesn't take them often. He really only takes them if he has a really good look and a really good open shot.
Correct.
But my God, he ended up 4 of 5 from the 3-point line, but I'm pretty sure he made the first 4 in a row, because I seem to remember him being 4 of 4 at one point. But
right.
4 out of 5 from the 3-point line is really good.
For any player.
But for it's great. That's great. Amazing.
Yeah.
He was 10 out of 12 from the free throw line.
He was just on it regardless. Yeah.
All over the place. Assist, blocks, steals. Doing it all. You got coming in or?
Huh?
Oh, I thought you had a comment coming in.
There's a lot of comments on here. I'm just sifting through them to see when they are applicable to what we're discussing. Yes. Okay.
So yeah. Okay. Feats of strength. We had AJ back in the starting lineup. We had Nana on the court with his career high. We won another game going into Vegas.
Let me just say this. Let me just tell you this. To come in and win this game, fully understanding that we didn't, I hate to say it like this, but didn't need to, like in terms of
it wasn't being, a
good guy. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Would it have helped our seeding necessarily? Yeah. But we also needed other people to do their job, meaning like other teams to win in the WAC in order to get a better seed. which didn't happen. Thank you, ACU. Anyway, but to know that we didn't necessarily have the pressure in this game and just went out there and had fun. Nana said in the post-game conference, again, thank you, Hunter. I know you're probably still listening or maybe not. I don't know. Like, you ask such great questions in these post-game press conferences, and I love you for it, bud, because it always elicits really nice answers. And, I mean, I forget what the exact question phrasing was, but I noted that Nana said meant everybody was just happy and we weren't tired. Like, yeah. They were having such a good time on Saturday night, last night. They were having so much fun. And that's what this is all about at the end of the day. Like, a team playing for each other, having a good time, and they're not tired. That's so important going into Vegas, is that, like, that their energy levels are up and high, because we know for gosh dang sure that these other teams coming in, ACU, well, they're coming off a loss, but before then they had been on an absolute tear. UTA, who we struggled with at UTA, is also been on a tear recently. Tarleton, same thing. We all know GCU is whatever. But, like, again, the fact that they're not tired, they're having a good time, I just couldn't be happier with the performance. And, I mean, stats be damn, honestly. I could have cared less if our free throw percentages were dog crap. I'm just happy that they had a good time and that they enjoyed it and they got the win. But having that free throw percentage was bomb for me. That's one of the main feats of strength for me, was that those free throws were doing way better than what they have been.
Yes,
and we took a lot of free throws, man. 42.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, because I have
some comments,
but I'm so glad that we made that many and had a good percentage. And like Alex said, I think it's so helpful that we ended the season with them feeling rested up from this 4-game road stint. Because now they're going to be well rested, and then we got the 2 wins at home and the morale is going to be higher.
Agree more, Hunter.
Hunter says, I know we're on the Nana train, but the Latrell 15 of 15 from the line. Yes, that is. First of all, that's a lot of free throws to have in one game for one player. 15. I mean, what? The last game we only had 20 free throws together as a team, right?
Yeah.
And he made 15.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, you want to even guess where Latrell's free throw percentage is on the season? You want to take a stab?
I want to say it's like 88 or 90.
Babe, you hit it right on the mark. 88%.
Am I good or am I good, guys?
God dog, man. Yeah, 88%.
I knew it was just shy of 90.
Well, Hunter, you do good at what you do, buddy. Just saying. Yeah, no, he's been killing it. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's insane.
Thank you, Hunter, for bringing that up. That is a big feat of strength, but my goodness. That was almost all of his points. Almost all of Trail's points were free throws.
Legitimately.
15 free throws. That was 15 points. He made 1 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Then
I guess
1 regular shot. Yeah.
To me, like, I'm just going to say this. Like, it's not necessarily a feat of strength. It's just a comment. Like, I know we made 7 3-pointers, but damn, it felt like we had like twice that. Like, you know what I mean? It just felt like they were raining down from every person.
You know what I mean? It did feel like a lot, because Nana with the 4, and then Terrell and Frank each made 1. It felt like a lot, but I swear it was because like every couple of minutes Nana was hitting 1.
Yeah, I know. It literally felt like way more than 7. So when I saw the 7, I was like, really? Damn. Maybe there were some 2s that felt like 3s.
I'm so sorry. I left one out. Matt made 1 also.
Yeah. Maybe there was a lot of long 2s that just felt like or looked like 3s. And I was like, just hitting them. You know, because Trell's really good at that. Like, he'll shoot and it feels like a 3. You're like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, oh, it's a 2. But still, what a shot. Like,
Or they call it a 3 and then they go back and review the film and knock it down to a 2.
Please. A few times. I have PTSD, honestly, from the amount of reviews that we had to deal with and game stoppages from this past game. It's just was absolutely insanity. Any other feats of strength before we go on to the grievances? Because I know that's what a lot of people are commenting about.
No, we can go to the grievances because I'm ready, y'all. Like,
she's about to go off.
I'm gonna have such a rant about.
I'm gonna have to like speed through these comments because so many of them are about the officiating from last night's game.
Yeah, let's give our rants and then we'll get everyone else's weigh-ins.
With the airing of grievances, I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're gonna hear about it. You.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, this may not even be a complete grievance because maybe I missed something, but I have no idea why CC got a tech. Really don't know what happened. Didn't seem to see him say anything. And then their players like hanging around, walking towards our huddle and like the refs aren't making him go back. Like they aren't separating it. They aren't calling anything on him. So I don't know what happened there. And the amount of freaking reviews that they did at the end of the game, as if they were looking like literally a player would just flop and then they would go review film as if they were going to look for some. I'm losing my train of thought because it literally like has blown me so far off, but like as if they were looking for a flagrant foul or some egregious thing, and then it was nothing. And I'm like, every single time that you keep going back to review it and all they did was flop, now you're letting them know, you're setting this precedent that all they have to do is flop for you to go review the film. So there's number one. And number two, once you go review the film and it's nothing, then you need to give them a flop warning so that we can stop doing this. Because then it turned into 1 billion reviews and 1 bazillion fouls at the end of the game. And my God. Okay. So first of all, it was like almost 60 fouls.
Oh, I know.
It was 9 fouls in this game. The last 3 minutes on the clock of this game took 20. I was hungry. I was thirsty. Water bottle was empty. And y'all know, like, there's a very... fine line from when I transition from hungry to hangry.
We exceeded it.
And when you keep blowing the whistle and you're literally stretching out 3 minutes worth into 20 and I'm starving and like, this is not a close game. It's over. Stop calling fouls. Then you're going to literally call a double foul. Okay. You're going to call a double foul with 56 seconds left on the clock. And we are ahead by 13 points. This is a no call, babe. Just don't blow your whistle. Let us get out of here and go get food.
Y'all, I warned everyone because as soon as the game started dragging and Jacqueline made the first comment about I'm getting hungry, I said, oh God, here we go. Because, guys, I'm just telling you, I warned everyone around us. I said, I swear to God, if this game lasts any longer than 4:30 or, 4:20 or whatever time it was, Jacqueline's going to go from hungry to hangry, and it's not going to be good. She's going to start yelling, being sassy. She's going to start bitching to the refs. And look what happened. Look what happened. The prophecy came true. Look at that.
It's literally, like, for any Vanderpump fans out there of old Vanderpump, it's like Tequila Katie, when they're like, Tequila Katie's about to come out. But I don't know what my nickname is for that. But it's like,
Jacqueline,
it's coming. And Alex is like, it's coming. It's coming.
I knew it was coming. I know when Jacqueline gets hangry, that's why I got to have snacks in my purse. It's like, I got to have like, something that I can like feed the beast whenever she's getting hangry. Like we got to stop. We got to get an Arby's, a little mini sandwich, a slider. We got to stop. We got to stop at Arby's and get a slider before Jacqueline has a absolute meltdown. Somebody stop at Arby's.
It was very close. For anyone who wasn't there, or if you were sitting near us, you saw, I mean, I was literally yelling at these refs, like, we're hungry. Stop calling the fouls. The game's over.
Like, it wasn't close. You were hangry. You were getting violent.
there were so many times that they would go review or just like be in a huddle. No one knows what's going on. And it's like, okay, well, we're just going to make this a media timeout because the refs don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
There were at least like two times that we went to a media timeout early because the refs don't know what's up.
Yes, I agree. And everybody watching does too. I mean, I've been running through some of the quotes and questions or some of the comments. I mean, of course, you know, Mama Tess in there calling everybody refs and the floppers. Yep. Oh, the flopping was egregious. I mean, DDT said over officiating. Absolutely. Let's see who else made a comment.
Grievances with the refs. Oh, well, yes. We don't like that either.
Yep. The lack of calling charges. Yeah, the lack of calling charges for me, it's just the flopping. When it's just so egregiously obvious, and it's literally you're the ref and you're looking right at the paint in the, and someone does it right in front of you, and you still don't call it. How? Where are you looking?
And then this happened once, and like y'all know, this gets me heated up because like I understand officiating and I know how it works. And when something happens in the lane and there's literally a ref standing 2 feet away, and then the trail official who's all the way on the 3-point line is going to blow his whistle and call it like he can see it better. Sir.
Not your step. Not your area.
That's not your call. Mm-mm. Not your call. Like.
That's such a big pet peeve. The trail
official should not be blowing his whistle for something happening in the lane. When your other partner is standing right there. Let him call it.
Yeah. What'd Daryl say? Daryl, NCAA men's needs to use the women's rules for fouls. That would be cut at least by a third. It's never going to happen, though.
What women's rules for fouls?
Yeah, Daryl, comment. What do you mean by the women's rule? I didn't realize there was a different rule for what. Maybe that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I need more clarification. But
and then he also said, I can explain the charges. Coordinators this year are instructing staffs to try and even out the blocks and charge calls.
I mean, I feel like it's not even, though. I feel like it's gone the other direction.
I feel like it has, too. I yikes. It was just a big yikes. So, yeah, if you can give more clarification on the women's versus men's rules. That would be great because I'm not sure what you mean by that, Fran. Yeah, it was just getting egregious. And let's see, 5 team fouls and a quarter is 2 free throws. Oh, women play 4 quarters, 10. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know. If the time was different than the if the time breakdowns were different, then the bonus would be different. But I don't know.
I still feel like they'd figure out a way to cock it up.
Yeah. And like we've said before in this game, it was really more of a consistency thing because at the beginning of the game, they weren't calling that many. And then it's literally that's like the last 3 minutes, they're like, we need to make up 20 fouls. So let's just blow our whistle every 10 seconds. And I'm like,
you haven't
done this the whole entire game. And now you're going to stretch out the last 3 minutes into 20 something.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. And I even yelled that during the game. It's like, we talked about this the last couple of episodes. I don't want freebies. If we foul, we foul. Or if the other team fouls, they foul. But it's just the consistency of play call, or I keep saying play calling, foul calling from one half to the next. It's like a completely different officiating crew officiates the first half. And then they high five, switch places with someone else in the second half during halftime. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, and then for this game specifically, the ramp up of whistles for fouls was literally in the last like 3 clock minutes of game time that lasted an eternity. But it was in a game that's, it's obviously already won and over. Like, they're not going to come back within 3 minutes, no matter how many times you blow your whistle. And then you're going to blow your whistle to call a double foul with 56 seconds. Like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. It would be a totally different thing if it was in the first half and they felt like it was getting really, really rough in the lane. And so they're going to call this double foul, even though it washes out, to make a point. Like, y'all are both getting too rough in there. We're going to set a precedent of what the expectations are for the rest of the game so that it doesn't get out of hand. But 56 seconds and you're going to waste your time blowing your whistle for something that's a wash? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Anyways.
No, yeah, it's just...
I can't rant about it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, here's when it comes to, like, fouling at the end of the game. If it's a close game, if it's, like, a 2-3-point game, yeah. Stop the clock, foul, try... Because we've seen it happen before where a team will start fouling.
Right.
And you know, get to the line, shoot it. They'll be able to get, you know, some points, but maybe tie it up, like... I get it, but when you're ahead by double digit points and you're losing rather by double digit points, like you got 56 minutes left, honey, you're just causing more misery here because you're going to continue fouling the one person who is the best free throw shooter on the team.
And that's exactly what happened the last time I went on this rant, is they were purposely trying to foul, but they were fouling Trill. So I'm like, you're like, give us more points. Thank you. But we want to leave and we want to go eat. But this time it was just the refs blowing the whistle for no reason. Like,
yeah.
Why are you even blowing it for a double foul when that's a complete wash? No one goes to the line. They're like, for what? It's 56 seconds. Just let them go. Let's be done.
I agree.
Anyway,
I completely agree. Yeah. So any other negatives to talk about? Any more grievances?
I can't think of any more grievances, but I did forget actually two feats of strength that I should mention. So the first one was the halftime show. It's our favorite halftime show of the entire season. And actually the grievance was I felt really bad because my dad was not at Saturday's game because his BFF, John Alvin, y'all probably heard me talk about him. So I'll say this quickly, but it's interesting. So this was John Alvin played baseball for A&M when he was in college. And this was their like 50-year reunion recognition thing. So they went back and his team was very – so their team batting average when he played at A&M was like 400-something.
What?
It was their team had the highest team batting average for Aggie baseball ever. Like, still have that.
400?
Like, I want to say it was like,
wow.
It was your high 3 or 4. Like, it was.
Wow. It
was, so, wow. Anyway, so my parents went to College Station to watch him get recognized. It was very cute.
That's so cute. That's so cute.
And this is my dad's favorite halftime thing. But so he missed out. But
hey.
Halftime, and it also just so happened to fall, thank goodness, on the game that Heather got to come to because I told her about it at the beginning of the season. She's been wanting to see it all season, so she's very excited. But it's Homeless to High Flying is what it's called. I will share on our socials their website and stuff because y'all should really go
please with
if you care.
Yeah,
about
no, I agree
because it's such a good cause. So it started out the guy rescues dogs from shelters and whatnot and teaches them all these frisbee tricks. And then the business side of it is obviously they go to different places and do halftime routines. It's so mm-hmm. cute. The dogs are so adorable. They love it so much. They are literally so excited to do it that like whichever dog is going second, they have to have a handler on the sideline, like bear hugging the dog because they're just like, let me go, let me go, let me go. Like my turn, my turn. They wear these little shoes on their feet to keep their claws from scratching up the hardwood. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen. And like in contingent with that, the guy who started the company uses some of their funds to put back into donating to shelters and also to advocating for and like spreading awareness of rescuing pets instead of spending a lot of money for a really expensive pet when there are lots of pets and shelters that need homes. Anyways, it's just like the best. It's It's so cute. It's so fun. And like, you can tell the dogs love it so much. They love the guy. Like, it's absolutely like just the highlight of their day to come do that.
Yeah, it's super cute. I have one last comment to make before we wrap up this portion. It was really, really nice during halftime to go over and say hi to Day Day.
That was my other last feed of strength.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So Thursday night, Day Day wasn't at the game. I messaged him. We, you know, obviously he had knee surgery. We weren't quite sure when he would be able to get back out and about. So I had messaged him Thursday night and was like, where are you? We were hoping to see you. Are you going to be here Saturday? And he said he was going to try to make it since it was senior day. And so beginning of the game, you know, he wasn't down there. We were like, well, I guess he didn't come. And then I spotted him over by the tunnel. So I was like, let's sneak down there at halftime, say hey to him. So he was down there in his full knee brace thing. And I chatted with him some about PT because he started his PT. And so I'm like, because you know me with all the people I know in ACK to begin with, but all the medical people, I'm like, who's your PT? And he's like, Marcy. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know Marcy. She's great. So yeah, I know his physical therapist. She is wonderful at her job. She's a wonderful person. She's the one who did Gary Lee's physical therapy after he broke his arm. I was like, okay, you got the right person on your case for that. Chatted with him a little bit, and then I'm standing there just, you know, chatting, not paying attention at all. And Day Day saves my life before my life flashes before my eyes, because the guys are coming full sprint towards the tunnel and he has to grab me and pull me out of the way. I'm like, oh, I wasn't even paying attention to that. Thanks.
Oh God. That was so funny. I'm just like, oh, I need it. Let me move over closer to the side, 'cause the boys are about to run in, and I'm saying they're talking to Erica. And then all of a sudden I just see you go whoop, like, like you just got yanked out of
like, I just was not paying one look of attention. I don't know why.
Shout out to Day Day for being heads up there.
We were really excited to get to see him and chat with
him. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I'm glad that we got to go over there and say hi to him. And I know he would give anything to be out there on that court and playing with the guys and helping them lead them to victory. And so just, you know, T's and P's to Day Day that he has a very quick recovery time, or, you know, that it's without delay, rather.
Yeah, or any snap.
Yeah, you know, everything goes well and he's able to get back on the court at some point in the near future for himself, you know, because I know that's a very important part of his life. So but yeah. So let's talk about it. One word to describe this game, Jax. What are we doing?
Oh man. Okay. Actually, it just came to me.
Okay.
For clarity here. So my word is going to be cayenne, and I'll explain that.
Okay.
The second dog, she's my favorite. So this guy has the same two dogs that he brings every year. Gizmo is the boy who goes first. And then the second one is cayenne, which is a girl. She's my favorite. And we can also apply cayenne to the game because, man.
Muy caliente.
Nana was hot like cayenne pepper.
Damn, you really nailed that one.
Two birds down on all just in a second, came off the top of my head.
Love that. So mine is just, it's going to be Whack Vegas. Like, Whack Vegas, we're ready. It's just a good little segue into the last little part of our episode. We're going to talk about Whack Vegas, and it was the last game of the season. My secondary word was going to be seniors because it was senior day. And, obviously we had a great, great showing for our senior boys and couldn't be happier. I do have a couple quick notes too, that we talked about that was talked about during the post game, presser. One was obviously for those, Eagle Eye fans, you may have noticed that AJ switched jerseys during halftime. It wasn't necessarily out of like, oh, I miss my old jersey 13. It was more so he had a rip in his jersey, which we didn't know. It wasn't anything like the Matt Heyman rip that literally I could fit my head through. Yes, Hunter, I know it was two words. I couldn't help myself. Okay, couldn't help myself. I know. So that's one thing. And then the other one was the fact that AJ, over the last two games, had 14 assists. That is insane. Coming back from injury and hasn't even fully practiced with the team yet.
And he didn't play that many minutes either on Thursday night. He only played 25. Saturday he played 33.
Yes, exactly. So, and then the other couple comments that I just kind of grabbed from this. First of all, just thinking back over the last couple seasons, just I wish there was a stat. Hunter, if you could work on this or figure it out, this would be great. I want to know what the juice to trail connection stat is. Like how many assists that Juice has given to Trell. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that connection is so special. Like they're the Wonder Twins. You know what I mean? I gotta know that stat. I gotta figure it out. Somebody who's better at math and better at history, please go find that. I wanna know how many of those assists Juice has given a Trell or in vice versa. Like you get what I'm saying. And then during the press conference, the boys all found out that they were going to play ACU. And let's just say they're ready and they're excited. Like as soon as they said, oh, we're playing ACU, like you could just see it in Frank's eyes, AJ's eyes. They were just shaking their head the whole time. Like they didn't phase them. It didn't seem like nervous or anxious or scared or anything. They're just like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ready. I love that. I love that from them. Just pure confidence gives me love, hope, joy, all the things. Those were my notes that I made earlier. So, figured I would share that, but yeah, so let's move on and talk about WAC Vegas. So obviously, if you've been paying attention, if you've been on social media for the last 24 hours, you would know exactly kind of where we're standing going into WAC Vegas, both guys and girls. So obviously the girls clinched their berth a little bit earlier than the guys did. Of course, we just love to create more drama for ourselves. So we just had to wait to the last couple games of the year, did we not? So going into WAC Vegas, we are the sixth seed. So it goes Grand Canyon is number one, Tarleton State number two, UT Arlington is number three. Number four, Seattle, five, Utah Valley, us at six, Abilene Christian at seven, and then California Baptist at eight. Utah Tech, Southern Utah, and UTRGV are the teams that are out of it. So pulling up the bracket, there we are. So the bracket is as follows. Is this for girls or guys? This is guys. Okay. So for guys, first round, it goes Utah Valley versus California Baptist. And then, of course, we are playing Abilene Christian at 8:30 on Wednesday. So that's Wednesday. Then on Thursday, it's the winner of whoever beats or whoever wins you the Utah Valley California Baptist. They'll play Seattle U. And then whoever wins between us and Abilene Christian will play UTA. So our path to the championship is just, I mean, let's just be fair. Neither side of this bracket is great. Neither side. It's like, do you prefer to play Abilene Christian, UT Arlington, and Tarleton State? Or do you prefer to play California Baptist, Utah Valley, Seattle U, Grand Canyon? Like, who would you prefer? All of these teams are challenging.
Yeah.
But all of these teams are, Jacqueline?
Beatable.
That's right. So I'm ready, actually. I'm excited. I'm excited that we get another shot at ACU. I'm excited that, you know, the team has another shot of redemption versus ACU. And so I'm really pumped for that. Of course,
I know the guys are going to be as well because we only lost to them by 1 point at home. So
yeah, no. I know that was such a heartbreaker. So I know they're ready for some payback. Like who wouldn't be? So, obviously Seattle U and UTA had, first round byes, and then Grand Canyon and Tarleton State had a double bye. So that's on the guy side. On the girl side, a little bit better luck. Not better luck, but we're the 3 seed on the lady side. So we'll be playing the winner of Abilene Christian and Tarleton State. And those games will be on Wednesday as well. So Abilene Christian and Tarleton State play at 2:30. So whoever wins that game is who we play on Thursday. And all of these games will be on ESPN Plus. All of these games will be available to watch there. And then the semifinal game with on the men's side will be on ESPN 2 and ESPN U. And then the championship game on the men's side will be on ESPN 2. And then on the girls' side, the championship game will be on ESPN U. So just keep that in mind. Like, you can access these on ESPN Plus, ESPN 2, you'll be able to see all of these games on those platforms. So it's going to be a really exciting tournament. I'm really excited to go back to Vegas. We're excited to see our basketball peeps, our basketball friends. Yeah. What's this? Girls are non-purple purple. What does that mean? Hunter, I'm going to need.
Yeah, I'm going to need more. Sorry.
Fun note from the WAC Hoops Nation last night. Guys, side of the bracket is non-Texas, Texas. Oh, okay. I get it. I should have read this comment first. Okay. Yeah. I get it, Hunter. Okay. So if you look at the bracket, which I think I can present the bracket. Hold on. Let me just pull it up.
This NAC, you were both purple and then the other. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That makes so much sense. If I share the bracket, which it should pop up on your screen. There you go. So I should have done this at the beginning. I'm so sorry. This makes so much more sense. So yes, when you're looking at the bracket, literally this entire bottom side of the bracket is all Texas teams, which is so funny. And then the top side of the bracket is all non-Texas teams.
Yeah.
And then on the girls' side, it's all purple teams.
Yeah.
And then non-purple teams. That's so funny.
That is funny.
That is wild. I love that. Okay, yeah. So sharing that makes it more visual. I forgot I could do that on StreamYard. Yeah, that's awesome. How funny is that?
That is wild.
Ah.
How random.
Little nuggets. Gotta love those little nuggets. So just like last year, it'll be at the Orleans Arena at the Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas. We're pumped beyond reason to get out there again and have a fun Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 5 days. 5 days in Vegas.
Well, at least 5 days, because Wednesday is the get there day, Sunday's the leave day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are the full days.
Yeah, that's true. But still.
So we won't really do anything Sunday. I mean, Wednesday we will get there, change, get to the
Oh, yeah. It's like boom, 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 boom.
Running.
Yeah. Sunday, let's hope, will be a wake up, calmly make our way from our hotel to the airport type of day. It better be. Because, yeah. I mean, I have work the next day and so do you. So God bless. I got to make it a very, very, very seamless travel day home.
Sunday will be a chill day.
Yeah, gonna need it too, I'm sure. So yeah, just really excited for the tournament. Like I've said before, it's gonna be a great time. Pumped. Last year was a great time, even though the guys lost the first round. Knock on wood, that's not gonna happen this time. Knock on wood, it's not gonna happen this time. But regardless of what happens, just I want them to have a good time. I want them to have fun. I want it to be an exciting opportunity for both guys and girls. So absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's see here. Anything else left to discuss? Not that I can think of. I think that's all we got.
I think that's it.
Man.
Follow us on socials to see the WAC Vegas.
Yeah, I'll do my best to be posting while we're there, but no promises. No, I'm just kidding. We'll take plenty of pictures. Who am I? You think I'm going to go to Vegas and not take a ton of pictures and post them?
I'll have plenty of pictures. And if you follow us on Snapchat, what you see stays on Snapchat.
Oh, God. I don't want to post my Snapchat again because I feel like it's just not the place.
I don't know, man. You know, if you're already there, then, you know, you can see it. But
it's just a dangerous place to be, honestly. Oh, God. Oh, last year was such. Anyway, okay. That's all I got. I don't want to get myself in trouble, so I'm just going to stop. Oh, God. But we are going to go. It's tradition now. Every year we go, we're going to get a tattoo, going to add to our collection. So we have our little lightning bolts from last year. So this year we're going to go back and get another one. Haven't decided exactly what design. We have a couple in mind. So we're just going to figure out which one we're going to go with and then get it. Hunter, you're more than welcome to join us. And whoever else is listening that's going. Kyle, if you're out there. $10. It's only $10.
Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. I'm just so excited that I worked my butt off in February and the last couple days here in March at the brewery. That's why I'm so tired. I'm so dead. Because after the game yesterday, that was part of the reason why I was getting anxious that the game was to take it so long is because I'm like, I have not that I'm hungry, but I have to go to work at 5. Like, I gotta go. I don't want to be late to work. But last night worked at the brewery from 5 to 10, and it was not like a crazy night, but it was steady enough that I got some more tip money and cash. So I'm pumped for that. So playing the slots, baby. Yeah. $100 on black. Play the table. $100 on black. I'm not doing that.
No, you're more of a slot machine girly.
I am. Slot machine. I'll sit there for 3 hours, babe. Jacqueline will be in bed. We'll come home from the games. I say home. We'll go back to the hotel from the games. And Jacqueline's like beat to hell, dead tired. It's like 2 a.m. And I'm like, go to bed, babes. I'll be down here.
Going down to the slots.
I'm going down to the slots. I feel like we're an old married couple. I'm like, I'm going down to the slots, babe. Don't wait up for me.
And I'm like, don't worry. Head to the pillow and I'm...
She's out. Yeah. There's no concern there. She sleeps like so heavy. So it's not like I would disturb her coming in. She won't even know. It's just funny. Last year I did that.
Get up and talk to you and not remember it because I also do walk and talk in my sleep. So
that is true. That has happened too. It's just funny too because literally that happened last season or last year. Got back from one of the games and we were just so dogged tired. But I was like, you know what?
That's your second wind. You were.
Right. I did. I walked into the casino. I like.
I pump in there.
I know. I was like, I think I might put a 20 in a slot. And Jacqueline's like, well, I'm going to bed. Like, sweet, I'll be up in a little bit. I just put a 20 in, kept winning. I was like, yeah. 2 hours later, I'm like, oh shit, it's 3 a.m. I probably should go to bed. Yeah. Hunter. Whoa now. Yeah, Hunter. Come on, buddy.
I mean.
Come on, brother. Get your little tat to commemorate. Tattoo tourism is a big thing, kid. We're such bad influences, but in the nicest way. Nicest way possible.
We're ready. It'll be a fun trip.
Yeah. It's all gonna be copacetic. It's all good. But yeah, we're excited. So follow along on all of our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, probably more specifically if you're an Instagram person, follow us there. I'll probably post the most there. Of course, on Facebook, probably do a recap from Facebook when we return. But and yeah, if you're on our Snapchat, may the power be with you or may God bless you. I don't even know.
You're welcome. I mean,
yeah, whichever, honestly, whichever happens, whichever comes first, but yeah. What a season. We'll do a season recap and WAC Vegas recap and all those, you know, with our season awards and all that fun stuff, when we get back from WAC Vegas, like, we still have at least 2 to 3 more episodes to go before we take a hiatus or come back for a baseball. I want to do a baseball podcast. Yeah. So I think, Johnny's been begging us to come out there to do a baseball podcast. So I think we're going to definitely try to do that this season. We have time. We could do it. But yeah, so don't worry. There's a bunch more from us before we hang it up for a few months and then come back in the summer. So we'll be back. Don't worry. Okay. I think that's all we had for tonight. And I'm sure what we gave you was plenty. Probably maybe more than you asked for.
We're doing what we can.
I know. All right. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. Hope you guys are ready for some WAC Vegas action. I know that we are, and you are more than willing to support the Jacks either near or far, because we need it. We need it bad. Okay, guys. Hope to see you. I hope people are coming to WAC Vegas. That's what I was about to say. I hope we see you in Vegas, but I know not everybody can come, but we'll see you. We'll see you when we see you. I'm running out of shit to say. Anyway, all right. Hope you have a wonderful night. Stay safe. And as always, ax some jacks.
With Alex and Jacks.
Not young.